Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. I'm Michael Cohen, producer James Platy. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Well, State Senator Burt Johnson, in the race for Michigan's newly redrawn 13th U.S. Congressional District, he's facing off against a broad range of Democrats, including the current 14th District U.S. Representative John Conyers Jr. So what does he think about going up against an iconic Detroit politician like Congressman Conyers? And what kinds of things can really be done on the federal level to help the struggling city of Detroit? To find out, Senator Johnson joins us now. Thank you very much, Burt, for coming on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So Congressman Conyers, he's been in office since 1964. what are your thoughts about the job he's been doing and his desire to continue?
Well, I think, frankly, Mr. Conyers has done a pretty good job over the years, except when you look at his last 15, 20 years, that he has not necessarily served his district and served it well at all. As a matter of fact, he is highly regarded as one of the premier Congressional Black Caucus members. He's the dean, if you will, across the country, and he does a lot of work in a lot of different districts, but I'm saying he's done that work at the expense of paying attention to his own district.
Well, tell me, what would you do in his position if you were there right now that he's not doing?
Oh, I think it's pretty simple. The relationships that I've established today, like with the Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, and the Obama administration, I was one of the first to stand up and support him, has yielded me dividends today. The regional transit, bus rapid transit program that you're getting ready to see unrolled in the state of Michigan that will unite about $750 million of the federal government's money to Southeast Michigan, Detroit more especially, is going to come by way of the bills that we've already put together. When you talk about mortgage foreclosure, I'll be somebody who can get out there and exalt the virtue of the bills that I passed to save the Dream Package, which dropped mortgage foreclosure in Wayne County alone 40% in its first month of application. So there's a nexus in the work that I've done today in the state legislature and what needs to happen at the federal level, given they're the same issues just on a national level that will help us.
Well, you're well aware of who's running the U.S. House at the moment. How is this new wave of Republicans, how are you going to work with them? How do you see yourself fitting into their structure of running business in the House?
Well, it's not necessarily fitting into their structure. I've been able to make friends all of my life in whatever room that I walked into. I've done that in the Michigan legislature. I went and made friends on the other side of the aisle, understanding that it really doesn't matter who's in power if you can't get anything done. And that means that extends to the Democrats. We've seen, even on our watch, that we haven't been mindful of the districts that need the services that can be provided. And so it'll be the same approach I've taken in every other facet of my political life. That is to go make friends, figure out who across the aisle has the same issues that I have, no matter the R or the D, and get it done. And so I'm optimistic about that. I don't think you need to wait 10, 15, 20 years to have an affect. If that were the case, Gary Peters wouldn't have been able to go out and have a conversation about banking and be a focal point of it.
Isn't it highly unlikely, though, that you or any other contender will actually be able to unseat Congressman Conyers, considering he's been in office for over 40 years and is, you know, beloved in Detroit?
No, as a matter of fact, it's very likely, given the fact that the district has changed through redistricting by over 68%. And what that means is core voters who have always been able to vote for John Conyers and that he's enjoyed their ability to vote for him are no longer standing there. They're great big neighborhoods in Detroit, Palmerwood, Sherwood Forest, University District, Bagley District, Green Acres, that are no longer in his particular district. And frankly, Congressman Conyers, and I've had discussions with him along the way, he and I have established a very good rapport, he understands that his district has changed and it does not necessarily benefit him, yet I do believe that this is his habit, and that's probably forcing him to run just a little bit. But I don't think he can be beat, and I'm one of those pragmatic people in politics. I understand, I read the writing on the wall very well, and so I see it as clearly as it is.
I'm talking to Democratic State Senator Burt Johnson. He is running for the newly redrawn 13th U.S. Congressional District. Burt, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder was recently in Detroit, and he was focusing on something other than the financial situation there. He said that currently an average of two black men are killed in a single week in Detroit, and 60% of young people are now exposed to violence as victims or witnesses. He called it unacceptable, although who do you blame for this reality?
Well, I think there's some breakdown with the family structure. Absolutely. There's some serious breakdown with the family structure. I also think that the divide that exists between state governments and cities in the state of Michigan has produced some of this with this disinvestment and sort of the state forgetting that some of these cities need resources and are going to need the help of state government. So I think it's a combination of the breakdown of the family combined with the environment, lack of educational resources, and frankly, some people just giving up and living in a hopeless state where, you know, it pervades into people's lives, and we've seen these horrible tragedies over the years. And I only suspect that they'll get worse if resources aren't really drummed up and pushed into these environments.
So when Attorney General Holder says that, I mean, he's essentially saying action should be taken. Are you saying that it's a matter of putting more money into law enforcement and schools?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was paying very, very close attention to his commentary about that, and I've come up with something. I'm not yet ready to release it, but I will do you the unspoken honor today of calling you back in the next 7 days, because I've got something that I think could actually stem the tide. It's very radical, but I think what's happening in the city of Detroit and elsewhere about the state and the country, for that matter, are going to require radical steps towards eradicating the problem.
Well, no, radical certainly sounds like the right approach. Can you give me a hint as to what sector of the government it involves?
Well, let me just say this. There are people who are running around the community utilizing assault rifles and doing certain, performing certain crimes on citizens, utilizing guns, shooting those guns, and then actually hitting people. And in the tragic instance, they're killing people sometimes. And I'm going to focus in on that. And I think there is a way to push a very strong pilot program in that brings all the federal agencies and the local agencies to bear on this. It's got to have some very serious teeth and serious focus. Mm-hmm. I think we can do it, and I think law enforcement is going to be very excited about being buttressed in this manner to fight the fight.
That's some gun control. Well, now, you did send a letter to Mr. Holder and the U.S. Department of Justice recently, and you asked him to look into the unconstitutional provisions, as you call them, in Public Act 4, this new EFM
right.
law. Have you gotten any response at all?
I've not gotten a response. I actually put that letter in Attorney General Holder's hand right behind his speech at the dinner, the NAACP dinner. I know he's a busy man, as am I, and I suspect that he will get back to me with a response. It's one of those things where when you have the opportunity to talk with folks who can make a difference, you take it. And I'm only hopeful that he reads the letter and understands it on its face for what it's worth, and that is, it is a desperate plea by one state senator in an area that has been ravaged by crime and policies that we think are wholly unfair and perhaps rise to the level of unconstitutionality, and that he get back to us to help address the grievances that we all have here.
Even if PA 4 does override the voice of the people and elected representatives, as a political leader, isn't there a line you feel of responsibility that is being violated by local officials who are basically letting their governments go bankrupt?
Absolutely. And let me say this. This nation has the same problem in a lot of its major urban markets. For instance, New York is still in a $100+ billion shortfall with respect to its pension and health care costs. And I think a number of us would say if we visited downtown Manhattan or New York by itself, that it's a very healthy and solvent situation. That would probably be true. But I'm saying all that to say this. There has been lots of mismanagement, and there's been enough corruption to go around, especially in the city of Detroit of late. We all want that to end. But there is also this grand sort of policy agenda that has been leveled on the city of Detroit over the last 10 or 15 years that does not allow Detroit to do some of the financial things she needs to do. We haven't been able to suspend our rollback provision to raise particular taxes. The governor thought that that was something that should happen at the state level, so he did it. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We're just saying in Detroit, the policies need to reflect the necessity of good things happening, just like we don't need to have corruption and mismanagement and malfeasance over funds.
I wonder, in this U.S. congressional election this year, what do you think is going to be the central issue that's going to be driving voters in Detroit to vote for you or any of the other candidates?
I think people still want to work. I think the quickest way to drop the crime rate is to put people to work. I think folks are looking to be employed, and that means that training modules, educational opportunities, and careers and jobs have to be available. In the city of Detroit, there are a number of jobs that are being filled by people who are coming across the border from Canada every day. That would be about 3,000 nursing jobs. That means that there are not enough people in the city of Detroit trained to compete with our international brothers and sisters to keep those jobs here at home. Mm-hmm. And so what I am saying is we're going to have to focus on job readiness and job delivery. I've done that to the extent that I've redeveloped certain places. I've put special tax credits in place to finish off the College for Creative Studies and have done some of that kind of job creation. It's time to actually focus on that and make that a front burner issue for all of us.
If Democrats had more say, more power in Lansing at this point in time, would you not necessarily be running for this U.S. House seat at the moment?
No. Even if I had a gavel and was a chairman, and I've been a chairman before and have run an agenda, I would still see the very glaring need related to the federal government and what we haven't gotten back. And so I would still be running because it's something that I'm very passionate about. I live in a district. I understand these people here. They understand me, and they know that my politics are very real, and we yield results. And so no is not a good enough answer for me, and I believe I'll still be running.
Democratic State Senator Bert Johnson. Bert, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to talk about this Time magazine cover. Have you seen it? If you have, you know what I'm talking about already. If you haven't, you'll find out what it is, and it's a bit shocking. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.